Hi, my name is Brent Donnelly. I've been trading since 1995 and writing about trading since 2004. My latest book is called Alpha Trader: The Mindset, Methodology, and Mathematics of Trading, and I'm president of Spectra Markets. Today, we're going to talk about the unique risk management challenges of selling equities, selling single name stocks short. Because really, selling something short is not the opposite of just going long. And I think many people don't always fully understand that. Structuring trades from the short side is not just the same as structuring trades from the long side. There's a lot of different things that you have to take into consideration. First of all, you can only make one times your money when you're short. So that's an important thing to think about. The asymmetry on shorts is the opposite of the asymmetry on longs. When you're long, you can make three times, five times, 10 times your money. But when you're short, you're only going to make one times, but yet you can still lose 10 times your money. So even though it sounds kind of stupid, there are people that have gone short a stock at $5 and cut their losses at $100. In fact, that happened with a very famous fund in 2021. And that's an extreme case, but it just shows you how the asymmetry of the convexity of the P&L is essentially the wrong way. So that's one thing that makes shorting very difficult. Another thing that makes shorting tough is that you need to usually pay a fee to borrow the stock, and then you also have to cover any dividends in the time you're short. So instead of earning carry, you're short carry. You're paying a negative carry fee to be short. So the asymmetry is against you, and you're paying a price in order to do that. And then the third thing is that stocks generally go up. So if you look at the stats, around 53% of all days, stocks go up, 60% of all months, and 70% of all years. Now, clearly, 2022 has been an exception to that, but it doesn't change the simple fact that stocks are positive carry and they tend to go up. And so, when you're picking a stock to go short, the bar needs to be extra high before you decide to put on the trade. There's a ton of red flags that you should look for before you short a single name stock. And the reason I say this is that I've been trading for about 25 years, and one of the big reasons that I'm still trading is that I avoided risk of ruin. And so I'm a big believer in avoiding risk of ruin no matter what, even if the trade has positive expected value. So generally, I'll go through a checklist. First of all, is the stock liquid? Is there a decent bid offer? Is the volatility relatively steady? Is the daily volume high? Does the stock have a history of gaps? So I'll download the open, high, low, close data for the stock, and I'll look at yesterday's close versus today's open, looking back 2 or 3 years, and measure the size of those gaps. There's a lot of 15-20% gaps in there. That's not a stock that I want to touch. In the same vein, you have to ask, is the stock a takeover candidate? If the answer is yes, just leave it alone. So for example, Peloton all the way down has been a great short, but people, I think, correctly stayed away from it once it broke 50 or so. Because there was always that risk that Apple or somebody else might come in and buy out the company. What you never want to have is exposure to risk that you can't control. So even if Peloton was a great short, you didn't want to sell the tail risk of Apple coming in and buying it for 90 bucks. Same thing with biotechs. You don't want to be short that stock if there's an FDA approval coming. No matter how low the odds of that FDA approval are, you still don't want to be the short the stock because you're going to get your face ripped off if they get approved. Another simple thing you can check is the short interest. So if you go onto Bloomberg or CBS MarketWatch or anywhere else, you can see what percent of the open float is short. If there's 20 or 30% of that stock short, you don't want to be short with everyone else. The problem with that is that people are short those stocks for a reason. They're bad companies usually. So there's a good story and a good reason to be short, but you're crowding in with everyone else. And when there's a fire in the disco, it's going to be hard to get out. Another consideration is stay away from cheap stocks. Retail loves to pile into cheap stocks. So if the thing's trading at $2, you're just taking way too much tail risk by getting short. And finally, the last thing you also need to know about your stock is, are there options on it? If there are options, that opens up a whole new menu of ways that you can structure your bearish view. Now, when it's time to structure the trade, the main things that you have to think about are, how far do I think the stock's going to fall and how fast? So the dream scenario is that you know it's going to fall to zero tomorrow. In that case, you can buy very far out of the money put and you're going to make an absolute cartload of money. But in real life, we don't usually know that. So then you have to think about, do I have any edge or any idea on catalysts? If there's a big event in a couple of weeks and you think you have an edge on predicting it, then it might make sense to buy a 1 month option. On the other hand, if you think the business model of the company is just terrible and they're eventually going to go bankrupt, that's a whole different scenario because you have no edge on the timing. So the first thing you need to do is determine how far you think the stock's going to fall and how fast. And those two questions will ultimately decide what your structure is. So generally in the options market, the shorter date you can go, the more money you're going to make. If you have to buy a 6-month or a 12-month option, then very often that's going to look very similar to just shorting the stock. Now, the one thing that a longer dated option gives you that short the stock doesn't is you don't have to stop out. So if you buy a longer dated option, you get downside exposure, but you don't have to worry about stopping out. The thing is, you obviously pay a price for that. On the other hand, if you buy a 1-month option, you're getting an absolute ton of leverage, but the big risk there is that the stock just range trades for a while, then collapses after your option expires. So there's always this tension between picking the shortest possible option, but also an option that's going to capture the time of the fall. If you think there's going to be a big drop soon, that's a great scenario for buying an option. You can simply buy an out-of-the-money put, a low delta put, and that's going to express your view perfectly. On the other hand, if you think there's going to be a smaller drop soon, then you have to be a little bit more careful because you might end up buying an option that's just simply too far away. Now, one of the most annoying things is buying a 25 delta option, which should have about a 25% chance of ending in the money, and then the stock falls right to your strike and expires. So you caught the move down and made zero. In fact, you actually lost money because you had to pay premium. So if you're expecting a small or medium drop, but you have a good sense on the timing, a put spread might be more appropriate. You reduce the cost of the put by selling a put that's farther away, and you capture the difference between the two strikes. Much more often, if you're selling short simply because you think the business model is broken and you don't have a good sense of the timing, then you have to compare what does an option look like compared to shorting the stock. A great starting point when you're trying to think of the best structure for your bearish view is to create a chart like this. Put every single strategy on that chart and it will give you a good idea of which strategy might work in various scenarios. Now, one thing that I've experienced is that people tend to dream big and think of very out of the money scenarios where the stock drops from 10 to 1. And sure, that's great and that might happen, but you also need to consider all the other paths. So what you're trying to think of here is all the different paths the stock might realistically take, and then assign probabilities to those paths. And then you compare that to the payoff diagram. And a lot of times the answer will jump right off. If you think the stock's going to zero, clearly the put spread doesn't make any sense because you can see the payoff of the low delta put is much higher. It's not that difficult to create this. I made it in Excel and you can create one of your own. And I strongly encourage you to do that. Don't think about point estimates of where the stock's going to go. Think about all the many different paths and the different speeds that those paths might take. If you're going to use options for directional bets, you really just need to know some basic concepts. One of those concepts that's really important is understanding what delta means. One way of defining delta is that it's the market implied odds that the option will finish in the money. So 25 delta option has a 25% chance of finishing in the money. And the second way of defining it is that it tells you how quickly the P&L moves as the stock moves. So if you have an option that gives you a delta of short 30 shares, your P&L today is going to behave very similarly to if you were short 30 shares outright of the stock. So when you're comparing a put to a put spread, the main thing you have to understand is that the put itself has much more leverage and much more convexity. Essentially, by doing the put spread, you're giving away the super, super steep part of the tail of the P&L, but you're usually selling a very expensive option and receiving a premium for that. So for example, instead of paying $50,000 for your strategy, you might only pay $30,000, but that strike that you sold on the downside may come back to bite you in the ass if the stock completely collapses. The key thing to understand with any structure like this is that there are always trade-offs. You can pay more upfront and get more leverage. You can pay less upfront, but then you're going to get less leverage. You can go short the stock, but then you risk getting stopped out. The way to think about those trade-offs is to think about the possible paths of the stock and how you think it's going to behave. If you're playing for something to collapse right away, you don't have to worry as much about the top side, and you don't have to worry as much about getting stopped out. So going short the stock is fine. If you kind of think the thing might consolidate for 6 months and then eventually grind lower, well, then your risk of getting stopped out is higher, but also it's going to be very expensive to buy an option. So in that case, you may just find that there's no real way to make money on the idea. Always be open to the idea that no matter how much you hate the stock, sometimes it's just not possible to be short in a cost-effective way. Sometimes the borrow is too expensive, the options are too expensive, or there's simply just no way to avoid the tail risk of getting your head ripped off. In that case, just don't short it. There's plenty of other opportunities. You can always find another trade. One situation where a put spread is perfect is if you have a very clear target. For example, the thing's trading at 100 and you really think it's going to 50, but you don't think it's a zero. It's just a bad business, but it's not going bankrupt. In that case, buying an 80 put, for example, and selling a 50 put against it is going to be perfect because you're selling a put at a level where you don't even think the stock is going to go. Those are the scenarios where you want to do a put spread because you're going to save a ton of money compared to simply just buying an 80 put. But buying a 50 put makes no sense because you don't even think it's going to go below that level. So what you want put spreads for are when you think there's going to be a measured move and you have some concept in your mind of how that move will play out. So like I said earlier, it generally is always going to cost you money to be short. Either you're going to pay to borrow the stock, which means that the broker is going to find some shares of the stock so that you can sell them short. You're also going to pay any dividends that the company pays out to the person you borrowed the stock from. So that's the negative carry. And that can sometimes be 3, 5, 7, 9% per year, depending on the stock. So it does add up. Now, if you're doing a short-term trade, the carry is meaningless. It doesn't matter. But if you're going to hold a short for a year, that can be a really important consideration, especially if the stock is difficult to borrow. On the other hand, when you buy a put, you're also paying money. You're paying a premium no matter what you do. So in the case of the put, even as the stock falls, as time goes by, you're paying time decay, which is also known as theta. And that bleed is going to hurt you each day. And it feels very similar to negative carry, to be honest, much of the time. So what you want to do is essentially create structures that minimize the cost while maximizing the leverage on the move. And again, that comes down to how much you think the stock's going to move and how fast. So there are many other ways to be short a stock, including selling calls. And my philosophy is the absolutely most important thing, and this is number one in both my books, is to avoid risk of ruin. Now, you can sell tails and you can sell calls, and a lot of times you'll make money and you're picking up a lot of nickels in front of a steamroller, but eventually you will get run over. And that's why I just don't like doing it. I think it's a bad strategy. Even if you're a professional, I think in the long run, selling tails is a bad strategy. As you become more experienced with options, you'll start to see that there's no free lunch. Buying an option through earnings is always way more expensive than an option that is not through earnings. Keep in mind that generally catalysts will be priced into the options market. So if there's a big event coming up, the options around that event will be much more expensive than they would have been otherwise. This is known as implied volatility, and almost any options listing service will show you the implied vol, often listed as IV, on the website or on Bloomberg. In this video, we've talked about shorting the stock, buying low delta puts, buying at the money puts, and buying put spreads. There are probably 100 other strategies that you can employ, including uneven put spreads, where you buy one and sell two, for example. My belief is that keeping things simple is better. And with the four strategies I've described, you can pretty much execute any directional bear strategy. To help with this, I created a pros and cons grid to show you the four main strategies and the pluses and minuses of each. The key one with shorting the stock is that you might get stopped out, and that can be extremely disappointing. The most disappointing outcome in trading is being correct and losing money. But the thing is, you can do that with options too. If you end up buying a put and the stock goes down and pins your strike on the day of expiry, yeah, you were absolutely correct, but you still lost money. That's just the way it is. Any structure has trade-offs, and you have to make those trade-offs. Then once you've made your decision, be confident and put the trade on. If 2021 taught us anything, it's that even the pros can blow up if we're not careful. If you found this video interesting, I go into more detail in my Substack, 50 Trades in 50 Weeks. There's a link below. Just go to week 20 of my Substack and you can check it out. And the main takeaway from this video should be, look for ways to structure your shorts and your bearish trades to make the maximum possible money. But always, always, always remember, the first rule of trading is don't blow up.